But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him. The testimony of Christ concerning John the Baptist. John the Baptist was not a reed shaken in the wind, one who blows to and fro with every wind of doctrine, with every slight of men, with every, you know, when that thing that people do, you know, when they say that certain people have the ability to be a chameleon, they sort of fit into their surroundings. It's very tempting. I always have an admiration for people who are able to stick out all the time. They have no conscience of their distinctness at times. Well, most of us, through our schooling, we learn to instantly conform to the group we're around. Right? If everyone's leaning left, we lean left. If everyone's leaning right, we lean right. In certain company, we speak one way. In another company, we speak another. Not everyone's like this. It's like, I've seen myself as that at times. Certainly not all the time. But I want to strive to always be the same everywhere I go. Especially when it comes to the things of God. It's one thing to, if someone wants to argue about food, to just go along with it. You know, like, what's better? You know, red sauces or white sauces? Let them have their way. I'll blow whichever way you like. But when it comes to the things of God, and to the preaching, and to the ministry, John did not go along with the crowd. He did not go along with the pressure of the elders, but he stood up to them to their faces. You know, when everyone wants to go along one way, you know, though hand join in hand, man always wants, why can't we all just get together, get along? Because in doing so, a lot of compromises have to be made. And to some people, that is like the ultimate virtue. Let's all compromise and we'll all get along. And the idea of an uncompromising truth is a horror to them. Something that is so absolute that it will yield to nothing. Yielding to nothing. That our kingdom is absolute. We are the wind that will blow you. We are the steel that cannot be turned by the wind. Not a reed, but a steel spike. John the Baptist was not a people pleaser. He was not a man pleaser. He spoke things that he knew would upset people. He knew that they would speak evil of him for the sake of the things he had said. We need to have that same spirit where we care more about the truth and about God, even though we cannot see him. That's the challenge. We can't see God. God, you don't see. There's a bunch of people in front of you who you can see, and they're giving you looks. Be not dismayed at their looks, nor at their words. You stick to God and to what you know is the truth, and what Christ has taught you. But Paul, I don't know much about the Bible. I've hardly studied. And then get yourself some understanding. I'll tell you what, you study with me. I'm not going to fill your head with a bunch of junk. I'm going to fill your head with things like this. Follow after righteousness. Follow after peace. Follow after the things which God has promised. The good things of God, which lead us to eternal life. The things that accompany salvation. Make your calling and election sure. I'll teach you the things in faith you need to seek to be like Christ. That's my whole focus, is to bring us all to the place where we are in the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I want to teach you how to do that. And really, it's not a question of how do you do that. You ought to know how to do it. Have faith. I'm going to teach you to do that and what it is you ought to be seeking. And yeah, there's more than that to it. Yeah, there's doctrine too, sure. We got doctrine. We got the resurrection of the dead, the judgment of God, the healing, the laying on of hands, the baptism. There are other things you must learn about. They are part of the faith. You go from faith to faith, we'll increase in faith. But the number one thing you will gain from me is an understanding of how to stand firm in one conviction, that Jesus Christ came to save us from our sins. And never lose sight of that. Be saved from your sins. Be not overcome of them. Be not the servant of sin. And I promise you, if you are, you will not abide in this house forever. John the Baptist was not a man clothed in soft raiment. He wore a garment of camel hair. He wore a leather girdle about his loins. He ate locust and honey. He was a very simple living kind of guy. He was in the wilderness preaching. But what do our modern prophets look like? What prophets do our leaders turn to? Oh, they turn to the men that dwell in million-dollar houses, that have million-dollar churches, and that have much wealth, to fat men, to men laden with fat, to fat men like the man from Saddleback. You know, it's hard to me, I find it personally, how can you follow a man who wears his sin so blatantly and says, by their very appearance, they're saying, I am a sinner. I am a gluttonous man. This is a great leader and a great prophet. A man of God should exhibit temperance, if not austerity, which means severity. He should look lean. Well, Paul, what are you saying? The outward matters? Well, I'll tell you what. In the sight of men, some sins are more acceptable than others. But in the sight of God, it is not so. Corpulent, opulent living is not acceptable to God. God doesn't like prophets because of their fancy clothes. You know, the wealthiest preachers have the wealthiest wardrobes. They're dressed well. They live well. They live in houses with gated communities. They're famous, so they have to separate themselves from the people. They have expensive security systems. You can be guaranteed they won't be following Luke 6. They take money. Oh, they give some to the poor. But they have so much, it's really not much of a dent, considering the lifestyle they lead. They live delicately. They apparel themselves gorgeously, arraying themselves with gorgeous rolls of fat. If not expensive clothes, I mean, look at long robes aren't in fashion. And sometimes it's just a polo shirt and a pair of Dockers. But you know what? You can still dress simply and be an excessive man. John the Baptist was not so. He cared little for the things of his body. He cared little for what he wore. You know, they say, well, if it's so righteous, why don't you do it? Why do you wear normal clothes? Well, because I'm a normal person. I don't wear special clothes. I don't dwell in the wilderness. So I wear what I wear. You know, I don't think it's appropriate to put on a show of humility. It's good to show humility. It is. But only if you need it. It can become a form of pride in and of itself. You know, I wear a prophet's garb. You know, they wear, actually, you know, to go out and get camel hair and make myself a camel hair suit.